It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can.
Keep that faith. Keep your courage. Stick together. Stay strong. Do not yield. Do not flinch. Stand up. We're Americans. We're Americans, and we'll never surrender. They will.
My goodness, it's that season, the presidential season, when there are as many ads for the candidates as there are for fast food or your favorite car. We're going to be talking about the 2008 election with Mark Hemingway during this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's the 4th of July. Later in the hour, we'll discuss Christianity and culture with Dr. Angus Manoogian. Our in-studio email address live this 4th is talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Mark Hemingway is a reporter for National Review. He joins us from Washington, D.C. to talk about presidential politics and the election. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
If the presidential election were held today, who would be our next president, in your opinion?
That's obviously a difficult question. I think that right now that Obama certainly has an edge. If you look at polling averages, which is usually the smart thing to do rather than look at the results from individual polls, the average sort of results of all the polls out there generally have Obama ahead 5 to 6 points. Now, that doesn't necessarily indicate that he's, got a commanding lead or anything like that. Further, you don't win an election by, winning, the overall vote. You win an election by winning electoral votes. So if you look at an electoral map, things get a lot murkier. Obama still has an edge there in this, on a state-by-state basis. But, there's enough of these states, Ohio, Michigan, et cetera, that are up for grabs that, certainly McCain winning is not out of the question. Obama is by no means running away with this.
Is this a remarkable presidential election, aside from the fact that we have the first African American who has secured the candidacy of one of the major parties? Is this remarkable in any other sense to you, Mark?
Oh, it's remarkable in lots of senses. One way it's remarkable is that you'd have to go back several decades to find a presidential election that was this wide open. And what I mean by that is coming into this election, there was no one person that seemed foreordained to capture the nomination for either party. That way you had several credible candidates vying for the nomination in both major parties. And another way it's remarkable is that we're following up ending George Bush's second term, and this is the first time in a presidential election is being held where it's coming on the heels of back-to-back two-term presidents since, I believe, the 19th century. So the voters seem to be sort of sick of politics as usual and sort of, sick of, the ruling classes in Washington, which has sort of been there for a long time. So
let's run the strengths and the weaknesses of each of the candidates, beginning with Senator Obama.
Obviously he's incredibly charismatic personally, and I don't think that we've seen a politician on the national stage that has the kind of charisma that Obama has, such that he emerged out of almost nowhere since possibly Ronald Reagan. And to a large degree, I'm not denigrating Reagan or saying he's less charismatic, but to a large degree, Obama, when he started vying for this nomination, had far less experience and was far less known than Ronald Reagan was. So, that certainly says something about how charismatic a candidate he is. Further, he has run an extremely good campaign, and that can't be discounted. He was up against, the Clinton machine, and he triumphed, came out on top. The Clintons made some pretty key errors. They didn't campaign well in caucus states and some other things. But he's run a very tight, well-organized campaign, and at the head of that, they have a very likable, appealing candidate. John McCain, his biggest strength is that he's a known quantity, and for whatever reason, he's very much trusted by a large number of Americans. There's a lot of Democrats that certainly feel comfortable voting for John McCain. He's established a reputation as, being a maverick, they like to say, or someone who's independent and someone who who at the very least, you know, I don't know if this is always true, but he certainly claims to be representing the interests of the American people over partisan politics, and he certainly bucks his party on a number of occasions, and that gives people, that gives Democrats the confidence to vote for him otherwise. You know, given the Republican field, McCain was probably the candidate that had the most appeal to the broadest cross-section of Americans. So it's interesting that, that Republicans picked him because, you know, in modern conservatism, the Republican, the conservative base in modern times tends to pick the Republican that's most ideologically pure, and McCain is not that candidate.
Who writes Barack Obama's speeches?
Well, that's a good question. Barack is certainly a fantastic writer, and just about everybody who's read his books agrees that he's a very good writer. That said, as someone who is a writer myself, people that tend to be writers in the purest sense tend to have artistic temperaments, which doesn't always make them the best politicians. Obama, you know, certainly writes a large part of his speeches, but the guy heading Obama's campaign is a guy named David Axelrod, and there's been some questions about Axelrod and how much of the Obama campaign really is Obama in the driver's seat and how much of it is the brilliant vision of this David Axelrod guy. For instance, I don't know if you have any West Wing fans listening to Pirate Christian Radio, but the final season of West Wing is centered on this plot where Jimmy Smith played this post-racial Hispanic candidate who was running for office. He was running around spouting stuff about how he didn't want to be the brown candidate. He wanted to be a candidate for all Americans. And there was a lot of similarities between that plot on the TV show and the Barack Obama candidacy. Well, as it happens, David Axelrod was a consultant for the West Wing that season, and there's obviously a lot of similarities there. So, you know, it's the question of how much David Axelrod has been thinking about what the ideal Democratic presidential candidate, his vision for the ideal Democratic presidential candidate, and how much of that is Barack Obama's vision. But either way, they're both running a very tight campaign.
Where would you put your finger down on the major, not policy, so much policy, but issue differences between the two candidates as we approach 2008 and that presidential election?
Well, I could have answered that question a lot more assuredly a couple of weeks ago. In the past couple of weeks, Barack Obama has moved dramatically to the center on a couple of issues, and it's difficult to tell where he's going to end up. I mean, he ran very much as an anti-war candidate, and that certainly would be a marked contrast from, you know, John McCain, who's very adamant about, you know, doing what needs to be done to, you know, secure peace in Iraq and get out of that situation, you know, in an honorable and in a way that Americans could call and in a fashion that Americans could, you know, call victory. Obama recently decided he was going to refine his position on Iraq. Refine was the word he used. Previously, when in the primary, he'd run on his position on Iraq had been that as soon as he took office, he would begin withdrawing one or two combat brigades a month out of the country, such that it would remove almost all troops out of Iraq within about 16 months. Now it's becoming harder and harder to deny, with the levels of violence coming down dramatically in Iraq, that the surge is in fact working. So Obama has decided that it would look bad if, you know, he were to suddenly, you know, cut and run when things in Iraq are finally improving. It's difficult to tell where the difference there is anymore.
What about abortion with only about a minute here?
Okay. Well, this is another position where Obama just recently announced that late-term abortions for mental health reasons, that he didn't approve of them. And I don't know how sincere this position is. I mean, I welcome it, obviously, but this is a marked contrast from his previous position where he had been in favor of partial birth abortion. I think he'd even voted for the for a piece of legislation that would have preserved. Essentially, the legislation said that if someone because of a botched abortion, a baby's born alive, that you couldn't kill it, and Obama was opposed to that. I think that this shifting position on abortion is less sincere move on his part, and more sort of something to give the evangelical voters to make them more comfortable with voting for him.
The Born Alive Infant Protection Act was the name of the thing.
That was the name of the thank you very much. And Obama had voted against that. So, you know, clearly his record is such that he was very much against abortion, and it's difficult to take this this new shift seriously. McCain, he hasn't been perfect on abortion, stem cells and some other things. He's vacillated. But if you look at his actual votes on abortion, rather than one or two comments on stem cells and some other things, his actual votes have been actually pretty good. And he's also pretty good on judges in general. He opposed David Souter and a couple of other things. So he really has not had a bad vote on judges in his career.
Hey, Mark, can you give us a few minutes on the other side of this break?
Sure.
Mark Hemingway is our guest. He's a reporter for National Review. He joins us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the presidential election. It's Friday, July the 4th. We're coming to you live here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. A couple more subjects where Barack Obama has moved toward the center. One of them, you may have heard about this, the FISA courts and all of those issues regarding wiretapping and the courts. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. And also money in presidential politics. We'll be right back after this.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Monday on Issues Etc., Dr. Robert George of Princeton University will be our guest. We'll talk about the right to life as the foundation for all human rights. We'll also talk about American civil religion with Dr. Ken Sherb. That's Monday on Issues Etc. Mark Hemingway is our guest. He remains with us for a few more minutes, and we'll be talking with Dr. Angus Manoogue about Christianity and culture. It's Friday, and we're coming to you live this 4th of July. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Mark, you had mentioned before the break that Senator Obama had been moving, especially in the last week or so, to the center on several issues. You talked about the war. You talked about abortion. Another one that was in the news was his stance with regard to the United States anti-terrorist efforts in wiretapping and the FISA courts. Explain that to us.
The FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, was up for review, and Congress needed to reapprove it. And Congress had sort of let it expire, but it was considered by many to be a very vital tool in terrorist surveillance and the anti-terror programs. What it is it's basically a secret court that is set up to approve wiretaps, usually among communications. Usually someone on one end of the communication is either they're foreign citizens involved, or there are foreign citizens communicating to people inside the U.S. And liberals had traditionally opposed FISA on constitutional grounds. Russ Feingold, a well-respected liberal senator, had just recently wrote an op-ed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying something to the effect that it was one of the most intrusive government powers imaginable. And Barack Obama had said he was going to vote against this new FISA bill, and this was a very big deal for the what they call the netroots and the hardcore Democratic Party activists. Another provision that was in FISA that was also very important was that it granted retroactive immunity to telecom companies. So, in other words, AT&T and the phone companies had been assisting the government in their surveillance on these terror programs, and this would give them immunity from being prosecuted for, wiretapping American citizens without a warrant. And the fact that Barack Obama backed down on this was just, a huge deal among Democratic activists. And it remains to be seen what the outcome will be. Obama was raising a ton of money on small-dollar donations among Democratic Party activists, and this is the kind of thing that might anger them and make the fundraising dry up a little bit.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. John McCain has spent at least the latter part of his career fighting to get big money out of politics, and Barack Obama, his opponent, has managed to find a way to at least ostensibly do that. He has a fundraising machine that has about 2 million moving parts in it and a lot of small donations. How much of a role is money going to play in this presidential election?
It's difficult to tell. I think in the age of the internet and mass communication, I think that a smart campaign with less money that knows how to target their advertising and message can actually, succeed, even if they're, vastly overwhelmed by the fundraising of their opponent. So I think that, technology to a certain extent is rendering a lot of the campaign finance laws somewhat useless as it is. Further, campaign finance laws can actually, sometimes just make things less transparent, the way that they push money aside into 527 groups and force people to work outside the system to support their candidate. What's happening with Obama and what's happened in elections over the past couple in the past couple of cycles, where people are using the internet to raise a lot more small dollar amounts, I think is a positive development for democracy on the whole. Hopefully that will continue.
Mark Hemingway is a reporter for National Review. He's joined us from Washington, D.C. to talk about the 2008 presidential elections. You can read Mark's columns at nationalreview.com, nationalreview.com. And by the way, Mark, give our best, if you would, to your wife, Molly, and to your daughter, Eve.
Ah, yes. We'll definitely do that.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thanks again.